So when to start, Rosalind went out this way, just so you know. She's in there making coffee, I think, cooking, baking cookies. God bless her. Let me know when you're there. Everybody there?
Amen.
Exodus chapter 5, I want you to look at a verse, and we're going to look at a couple verses, and look at Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. Are you there? It says, and afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. We all know the story. Don't have a whole lot of time to talk about it, but I hope you know the story of the Exodus of Moses. If you don't, go get the movie, Ten Commandments, Cecil B. DeMille, a great movie. My son Michael got saved because of that movie, amen. Now he's a missionary, led hundreds and hundreds of people to the Lord, all from that watching that movie. Just talking about God and talking about that stuff will stir a man's heart. Anyway, the very first time that it is said, that phrase is said, let my people go. The very first time it's said is right here in chapter 5. And here, what I want you to see is that he says, let my people go. Why? That they may hold a feast unto me. First and the last time, he says that they may hold a feast. But it's important. And turn with me real quickly to chapter 7. Look in chapter 7. Look at 7, verse 16. It's the second time. It says, and thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may, say it, church, serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. That second time, the third time, the fourth time, fifth time, the sixth time is always, let my people go, that they may serve me. God is sending Moses, his servant, with great power, great authority, great mighty works and deeds, and he says, let my people go that they may serve me. That's what I want you to think about tonight as we go home in a little bit. God said, let my people go. Look in chapter 8. Look in chapter 8, verse 1. It says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. And I want everyone to read it with me. Ready? That they may
serve me.
Serve me. This is why God wanted them out so that they could serve him. Not that they could go have a party, not that they could be free, but God made them free so that they were free to serve the Lord. It's very important. You know, look in verse 20 in the same chapter. Verse 20 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. God is getting serious, and more serious about let my people go, that they may serve me. Look in chapter 9, look in verse 1. And then the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews. Everybody say it out loud, ready? Let my people go, that they may serve me. This is the message of God, chapter 10. Look in chapter 10, verse 3. Chapter 10, verse 3. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Look in verse 4. Else, if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring the locusts unto thy coast. Now God is God is through with saying, let my people go that they may serve me. Now God puts all the judgments and wrath of God upon them. And the Bible continues to say that God brought thee out with a mighty hand. I want you to think about what it took, that God brought them out. He gave them freedom from the powers that were over them. Listen to me. God gave them freedom from the powers that was over them. I'll say it again. God gave them freedom from the power that was over them. The reason I'm saying that is because so many people still need to, they need to let my people go, because there's still people stuck in alcohol, still people stuck on drugs, still people stuck on pornography, still people under the authority of a cigarette, people under the authority of gambling, people under the authority and power of Satan, the devil, who this represents. And when you think about what God did to let his people go with a mighty, powerful hand, he even says with a stretched out arm, you know what he did? He killed all the firstborn. All the firstborn died of every animal and every person, except those that had the blood on the doorposts. He killed every single firstborn of millions of people. And he did that, and when he did that, Pharaoh let him go. Do you understand that? And then he let him go to do what? To serve me in the wilderness. I want to hurry up if I can. Acts 26, look in Acts 26. The reason I'm saying this is because the same thing that God sent Moses to tell the devil, Pharaoh, to let my people go that they may serve me, is the same thing that God sent Jesus. God sent Jesus Christ. Moses even said that there will come another like me. Him, listen to everything he says. Another like me. God sent his own son to say to the devil, to say to the powers, to say to the authorities, to say to the principalities and powers, let my people go that they may serve me. Because every single human being that was born in sin, and the power of sin held them. I don't care how good you try to be, the power held you. And that's what Jesus came to do, to say, let my people go. And as God killed the firstborn of Pharaoh, God killed his own firstborn to let the people go. There's such a similarities between the two. I don't have time to talk about it all, but look in Acts 26. Thank you. Acts 26 in verse 18. It says this, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the, look closely, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me, to turn them from the power of Satan unto God, to turn them from the power of the devil unto the power of God. Is God powerful? Oh, he certainly is. The death of Jesus Christ was the most powerful, earth-shaking, universe-rocking thing that ever happened. The Son of God killed. And by doing what he did, he now made that the powers of darkness and the power of the devil, he has no more power over you. He now must let you go. You are now set free. You are made free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Jesus is called the truth. I am the truth. I want you to know that you've been made free, but not for your own. The Bible says that God sent his son to save you, to deliver you for his own purpose. You know what that purpose is? The same purpose it was for Israel in Egypt, to serve the Lord. God did not send his son to suffer, bleed, and die for you not to serve the Lord. God did not send his son to be whipped and beat for you not to serve the Lord. When he said that they may serve me, that they may serve me, that they may serve me, he said it 6 times, that they may serve me. Where? In the wilderness. I'm here to tell you right now, the same things that happened to them is the same things that happened to us, to deliver us. Colossians chapter 1, look there, Colossians 1. Great verse, I want you to see it. I was going to just quote it, but I want you to see it with your eyes. Colossians 1, 13, say amen when you're there. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Please pay attention. He delivered us. That means you're already delivered. Has Christ entered into your life? Has Christ entered into your heart? Has Christ become your Savior? I want to hear from you tonight. Amen. Has he? Well, then he's delivered you. Amen. You are delivered from all the powers of darkness. They do not have a hold of you anymore. You got that? Just like Egypt, I keep saying Egypt, sorry. Israel was delivered from Egypt and led in the wilderness. We are delivered from the powers of the darkness of this world. We're delivered from the power of Satan himself. We're delivered from the power of hell. We're delivered from the power of death. We're delivered from every single darkness in the world. We've been delivered. And what we're supposed to do is just like them, follow the Lord now. And where was the Lord leading them? First of all, he was leading them to Mount Sinai to get the word of God. So he's leading you to the word of God, but that wasn't the finality. That was just on the way. You know where he was leading you? To the promised land. He was leading all that group of Jews. He said, come on, boys, we're going to go to the promised land. A land flowing with milk and honey. How many people want to be a Christian in the promised land? Well, Jesus Christ came to make you free so that you can come out and follow him. He'll lead you right to the word of God like he did the Jews, and he'll lead you into the promised land. You know what the promised land is? It's a place where there's milk and honey. It's a place of power, not a place of weakness. It's a place of praise, not a place of tears. It's a place of knowledge, not a place of foolishness. It's a place of goodness, not a place of evil. It's a place of wisdom, not a place of stupidity. It's a place of strength. It's a place of joy. It's a place of where we can go and hold a feast to the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a place where we can rejoice and sing and praise. That's the promised land. And I'll tell you right now, I'm walking in the promised land. Every single day I'm in the promised land. You know why? Because he led me there. I wasn't like the Jews. I hope and pray you don't be like the Jews either. Because what happened to the Jewish people, in case you young Christians don't know, that God said, come on, let's go to the promised land. And they're all marching. You know what they did on the way? They complained. You know what they did? Many of them wanted to go back to Egypt. And I think about the Christians today. When I say Christians, you know what I mean, lumping everybody in. The people that have come into church, people that have been in this church, people that have come and maybe at these altars shed tears and prayed and maybe been baptized. And you see them for a little while, and then where are they? Just like the Jews were baptized in the Red Sea, the Bible says. Just like the Jews were baptized in the Red Sea, we are baptized in the waters. Just like the Jews, it said that they were fed manna from heaven. We are fed the word of God from heaven. Just like it says that a spiritual rock followed them around and gave them water. The Bible said, Jesus said in John chapter 7, he said, he that believeth on me, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. We have the rock in us. We have Jesus in us. We have it so much better than they, but yet we're still the same. What do I mean by that? I see Christians dying in the wilderness when they should be walking in the promised land. I see Christians all the time walking, following the Lord for a while, but they're just like the Jews. They want to go back. They want to go back to their old life. They want to go back the way they had it, where they were under chains and bonds of addictions. They want to go back to the alcohol. They want to go back to the drugs. They want to go back to the whoremongering. They want to go back. I don't understand it, but I didn't understand them doing it either. When you look and study about the Israel, when they... in the book of Exodus, when they were brought out by Moses, they complained a lot. And guess what? All the complainers, listen to me, none of the complainers entered into the promised land. Oh, they were saved, just say they were saved, but they all died in the wilderness. In the wilderness for 40 years, they walked around, never getting the promises, never getting the power, never getting everything that they could have had. And that's the same thing with us, the church today. God has blessed us. My dad has been reading a verse, and it's just been blessing him. Turn with Ephesians, will you please? Look at Ephesians chapter 2 with me. Just go back a little bit. You'll see it. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, are you there? Amen. Look in verse 2. It says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan. The spirit that now works in the children of what? See, I want you to tell you that God, Jesus Christ, came to this earth to suffer, bleed, and die, to be crucified, to make you free, so that you would be free to worship and serve the Lord. But with that freedom, that means now people can do what they want to do, Lindsay. They can go back and serve Satan. Because that's what you're doing. When you're going back and doing the things that you did before you got saved, you're serving your old master. People don't realize that. That's what they're doing. Well, I've been made free, and guess who I'm going to go serve? I'm going to follow the Lord wherever he leads, and I'm going to serve him. Because I realized and found out how good he is. I realized and found out how powerful he is, how blessed he is, and he's so good. Amen. Look what it says. It says in verse 3, among whom also we have had our conversation. What's that word say? In time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, woo, hallelujah for but God. Hallelujah for but God stepped in. If it were not for Jesus Christ stepping into this world, I'd be going to hell. For all eternity, the darkness and blackness and fires of the eternal hell's fire, every one of you would be in there burning forever. But Jesus stepped in. And look what he says. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together. That means made us alive with Christ. For by grace are you saved. And he has raised us up. Pay attention. He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? See, that's serving him, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Go back to chapter 1. Look in Ephesians 1. This is the verse my dad was just blessed by. He just keeps reading it and loves it. He wants to know more about it. He wants it all. Look in verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, look what he says, who hath, you know what that means? He's already done it. He has blessed us with all, see that church? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He did the same thing to the children of Israel, but they died in the wilderness. Because you and I must walk by faith. We must believe and follow. You cannot receive the blessings that God's already given you. He's already, they're there. They're like the air. They're there. His grace is here. His strength is there. His peace is already there. But so many of us walk in stress and anger and upset when the Bible says, will you let the peace of God rule in your heart? Will you let it? We don't let the blessings, the spiritual blessings, rule our lives. We don't. We let the other things rule our lives. We let anger rule our lives and lust rule our lives and worry rule our lives and stress rule our lives. You come on, you know I'm right. And therefore, because of that, we're not walking in these blessings that he's already given to us. And therefore, we're in the wilderness. You can live 20, 30, 40 years saved and be in the wilderness as a Christian. And never get to the promised land. The only way you can cross that Jordan, the only way you can get into the promised land is by faith. Amen. Believing every promise of God. You got to read the promise and keep saying it. I am blessed. He loves me. I have his peace. I have his joy. He saved you so you can serve him. Don't tell me there's nothing you can do. Oh, not me. I can't do that. Yes, you can. He saved you to do it. He's given you the gifts for it. You just haven't been using them because we don't believe. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2, it says that they all ate the same manna from heaven, from bread from heaven, and they all drank that same water, and they all were baptized in the same thing. But then what happened? It says in Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know what happened? They all drank the same. They were baptized. They were followers. They believed. God did great miracles. God did great powers. But you know what happened? They died in the wilderness. God has done great things in your life. He's given you everything you could imagine, and you don't even know it. Because first of all, you don't believe it. You don't believe God. There's people, Christians, that don't think that God loves them. It's sad, isn't it? There's Christians that walk around not knowing what to do, not having wisdom. There's Christians that walk around stressed out to the max, not knowing how they're going to get this done. How am I going to live? How am I going to work? How am I going to this? How, you know what I'm saying? And God said, they don't understand that God said, stop worrying, I take care of you. How many people in this room could say, by my history, God has always taken care of me? Every single person. He always will, if you believe in him. Because when you believe in him, it's called faith, you grow a little. You grow a little. And you start to trust more, and you start to follow closer. But if you're not serving the Lord, if you're not serving, please listen so I can finish. If you're not serving the Lord, what are you doing? Jesus said you can't serve two masters. Without knowing it, you're serving Satan. You're going back. You want to listen to the same music and go to the same places and have the same old friends and do the same old things and think that you're going to get in the promised land. You're not. You know what you do? You have to walk by faith and walk by Christ and walk with God. God alone. Serve him. That's why he saved you, to serve him. Let me hurry up with this, but they were being taken care of by supernatural blessings from God. Amen? And they still wanted to go back to Egypt. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Remember he said that? Lot's wife wanted to go. They were being delivered from Sodom, and it was going to be destroyed. He said, do not turn back. But she had to turn back to look. Oh, my own house, my own town. And she turned to salt. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. They were supposed to enter into the promised land flowing with milk and honey, but they would not go in. They stayed in the wilderness for 40 years because they did not believe. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3 with me. Hebrews chapter 3. I'm here to tell you right now, you can walk in the wilderness. I mean, you can either walk in the wilderness and die, or you can believe God and follow the Lord and live. I've seen people, all right, I've seen in the nursing homes. You go to the nursing home, people with no legs. You go to the nursing homes, people stuck in a bed. You go to the nursing homes, you go in there, and you know what they're doing? They're walking in the promised land. They have the joy of the Lord, and you don't have joy. They have the peace that passes understanding, and you have all your legs and limbs, and you don't have it. They have a song in their heart, and they, in the middle of preaching, in the truth time, and all of a sudden, one of them or two of them will break out in a song, because they're in the promised land. They're flowing with milk and honey. And we look at them and go, what do you, you don't have any legs, you have no arm, you have this sickness and that disease, you're stuck in a bed. We don't understand it because the promised land is in here, not out here. I've been in prison ministry for many, many years, and sometimes, well, not sometimes, almost all the time, the guys get saved in jail or whatever, they come out and they'll all give this testimony, the greatest thing that ever happened to me was going to jail. They've said it over and over. You know why? Because that's where I met Christ. You know what will happen? They'll come out of jail, and life will be hard, and they'll be in the wilderness, and they'll want to go back to jail because it was better there, because they didn't have all stress, because they're not following Jesus. God didn't take you away from Satan's hands for you not to serve him. They come, but they don't serve. Do you understand what I'm saying? And if you're not serving Jesus Christ, serving God, it with rejoicing and feasting and praising, then you, without knowing it, you're going to serve the world. It's just pretty, it's very simple. Hebrews chapter 3, look in verse 12 with me. It says, verse 12 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? Say it, church. Unbelief in departing from the living God. You know why people depart from God? Because they just don't believe the stuff. They don't believe it. They don't believe that they have every spiritual blessing is given to them. Do you believe, Dad, that God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing? Do you believe it, Dad? I guess you can't hear me. I know he believes it because he keeps saying it in the house. But you've got to believe it. You've got to believe it. You've got to believe it. How are you going to get a spiritual blessing if you don't believe it? Because that spiritual blessing knows whether you believe it or not. And the reason people don't ever get anything from God, because they don't really believe it. They don't believe that they are blessed and highly favored. They don't believe they're a child of God. They don't believe that they have the protection of the Almighty. They don't believe that they have the love and the joy and the peace and all the powers of the Holy Ghost. Look what it says in verse 19. It says, so we see that they, look what it says, could not enter in because of what? That's what's stopping you from walking in the promised land here and now. Look in chapter 4. Look in verse 6. It says, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached, look what it says, the Jews, entered not in. Why? Say it, church, because of unbelief. Look in verse 11, same chapter. It says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fail after the same example of, say it, church, unbelief. Unbelief is it. In the wilderness, we were called to serve him, to follow him, and to rejoice in doing it. But many want to go back into Egypt to the things of their old life. They will remain in the wilderness. Are they saved? I hope so. You can be totally saved and die in the wilderness. You can be totally saved and not receive the blessings of God. But they're all there to receive. Do you understand that? And I just want to get that across to you. And they still don't have the faith to follow. They don't believe it. And they shall not enter in. They shall not get into the promised land on this earth. Because there is a promised land that we're going to be in. That is the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's a total promise. And once we get there, there's so much to learn of who we're going to be and what we're going to do and the power and the authority that he's going to give us. It'll take days to teach that. But right now, here and now, you can walk in the promised land. But guess what you got to do when you go in the promised land? You got to fight the armies. You got to fight the evil ones. Everybody thinks that they're going to get in the promised land without a fight. God never says don't fight. He wants you to learn to fight evil. He wants you to learn to say no. He wants you to learn to be strong. He wants you to be resilient. He wants you to be king and queen of your own castle. Amen. He wants you to, as everyone has an inheritance, God has given you an inheritance. It's your body. It's your temple. Start to control that. Say no to your own self. Someone start to say amen. If you can't say no to yourself, how are you ever going to walk in the promised land? You can't say no to a drink or a drug or a cigarette or a lie or a lust. You can't say no, then you're losing the battle. But God has equipped us with every single thing we need to win that battle. And every time you win that battle, you get something. You get blessed and you get stronger. Guess what? There'll be another battle. But every battle that you fight will be worth fighting for. It'll be the battle of your children, the battle of your mind, the battle of your heart, the battle of your body. Every one of us will get older and get sicker. But I'll tell you what, I want to be like Moses. When he was 80, he was still strong like he was 40. Amen? And I believe that you can do that, but you've got to be in control now of your own spirit and not let the devil and the powers that be get you down, because God wants you up. I got to stop. I just want the church to understand that when God said, let my people go, he did it so they would serve him. When Jesus Christ came and he said, Father, forgive them. When he died and beat every power and darkness and principality there is, he gave us and he said, whom the Son makes free, you're free indeed. You know what God wants? Let me finish with this. You know what God wants? He wants you to serve him as a free person by your own free will, not made to. That's what he's looking for. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Cliff's going to play. I want you to pray. Ask God to help your unbelief. Ask him to forgive you of your sin. Confess your sin to the Lord. Ask Jesus in his blood to wash it away. ask him to regenerate you and renew you in the Holy Ghost. Ask him for the Word of God. Ask him for the life of the Spirit of God. Ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Tell him. Say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe every word is true. Can you do that? Can you tell the Lord, say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe every word is true. I believe that you've blessed me with all spiritual blessings. And I want those blessings. Help me to see them, to believe in them, and to know them, and to receive them. Ask him. He'll show you. God is good, isn't he? God is so good. I hope the message was a blessing to you. I hope you learned something. I hope it gave you a little something. Let's pray, and we'll go home. And I'm going to ask Daniel if you'd close us in prayer, please, Brother Daniel.